an internationally recognized expert on medicinal plants, drugs, and addiction, alternative medicine, and the reform of medical education. Dr. Andrew Wild is a leader and pioneer in the field of integrative medicine, which is the approach to healthcare that encompasses body, mind, and spirit. Combining a Harvard education and a lifetime of practicing natural and preventative medicine, Dr. Andrew is founder and director of the Andrew Wild Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where he also holds the Lovell Jones Endowed Chair in Integrative Rheumatology and is Clinical Professor of Medicine and Professor of Public Health. The center is a leading effort in the world focused on developing a comprehensive curriculum in integrative medicine. Dr. Andrew is also a founding member of the Telluride Mushroom Festival this year, August 16th through 20th. Since 1981, the event has celebrated all things mycological, including the newest advancements in mushroom science. Dr. Andrew is a keynote at the 2023 happening. His upcoming much-anticipated talk is titled The Mushroom Renaissance, a.k.a. The Shroom Boom. Dr. Wild, thanks so much for joining me.
Sure, happy to be here.
Thank you. So, Dr. Andrew, please take us back to young Andrew. Was there anything, anyone in your boyhood that triggered your interest in medicine in general and or alternative healing and preventative medicine specifically?
Well, I grew up in a middle-class family in Philadelphia, and one of the influences on me was my family physician, a general practitioner, Dr. Irv Gerson, who took a personal interest in me and really steered me toward medical school. He wanted to see me become a doctor. I had an aunt, my mother's older sister, who was a health nut and very much made fun of by the rest of the family, but she was a vegetarian, at one point a fruitarian. She went to chiropractors. She had charge of me on Saturdays because both my parents worked, and she took to the one health food restaurant in Philadelphia, introduced me to things like avocados and mangoes, and so those were early influences on me. One other thing, my mother was had a green thumb. Her mother was big into plants, and through her, I developed an interest in plants that led me to be a botany major eventually when I got to Harvard.
Okay, thank you for that. So the health benefits of the approximately 100 species, and I'm hoping that number is correct, of mushrooms being studied for such properties, healing properties really, include immune system boost, source of vitamin D, and antioxidants, pumping metabolism because mushrooms contain vitamin B, which is essential for converting food into fuel, and so on. Could you talk briefly, I'm saying briefly only if you can, on the subject of mushrooms as medicinals. Among your favorites, shiitake, reishi, cordyceps, maitake, lion's mane, enoki, turkey tail, all seem to have strong medicinal benefits. And for the doubters, have those claims about these specific mushrooms been put through all the rigors of science?
Well, I got interested in the medicinal of mushrooms long ago, probably in the 1970s, when I began reading about traditional Chinese medicine and Chinese medical philosophy, and found that mushrooms were very highly esteemed in the traditional pharmacopoeia of China, Japan, Korea. And it struck me that there was no Western interest in them. Western scientists and physicians had never looked to mushrooms as sources of new medicines, and that seemed very odd to me. So I began trying to find out everything I could about them. I made several trips to Japan and to China where scientists who were studying medicinal species. I began writing about them, tried other people interested in them. It's taken a long time, but, you know, finally over the past 10, 15 years, there has serious research interest in the medicinal properties of mushrooms in the West. And there's now quite a lot of scientific literature, a lot of it published in Asia, but now increasingly in the West as well, documenting the properties of many of those species that you mentioned.
Are those double-blind experiments? I mean, the standard forms of testing?
you know, there are all sorts of experiments. There's a lot of, first of all, just chemical investigation of the compounds in mushrooms. Then there are a lot of animal studies, usually in rats and mice, and then human studies. And some of the human studies are well controlled and well designed.
Okay. Thank you for that. How closely do you feel the mushroom renaissance is tied to the notion of cleaning up our planet?
I think that's a more recent development, and some of it comes from this new information we've been reading about how mushrooms really connect all other forms of life, that they trees in the forest and plants, and that plants could not grow without being connected to mushrooms. There have been recent research looking at how a particular species of mushrooms might be able to digest toxic contaminants in the environment, things like oil spills and so forth, that they might help reverse the greenhouse effect by sequestering carbon. So I'm just starting to read, you know, this kind of stuff quite recently. So I think that is becoming a part of this mushroom renaissance.
Along with my clothing made of mushrooms and houses built for mushrooms. Okay. What role do mushrooms play at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine?
You know, Al, we are the leading center for education in integrative medicine. We train physicians and allied health professionals. Our main educational offering is a 2-year intensive fellowship for physicians and nurse practitioners and physician's assistants. We've graduated almost 2,500 people from that training. There's been a great demand from the health professionals we train for information about medicinal mushrooms and how to use them, and more recently for information about the psychedelic mushrooms. So we have curriculum materials in this area. So there are courses on medicinal mushrooms, and more recently we've just put out a course, a version for professionals and one for the general public on psychedelic mushrooms. And you can look these up if you go to our center's website, which is integrativemedicine.arizona.edu, and you can see our educational offerings, some of which, as I said, are available to the general public.
Great. Thank you very much. Which are your favorite mushrooms to eat? How do you recommend preparing them? Rumor has it teriyaki figures into your culinary story. And do you ever recommend eating mushrooms raw?
That last one is very easy. No mushrooms should be eaten raw. They are relatively indigestible raw. Heat breaks down their tough cell walls and detoxifies things that are in them that aren't good for you. In addition, it just makes them more flavorful, more digestible. In terms of which I like to eat most, I love shiitake mushrooms. I love king oyster mushrooms. I'm just talking about the cultivated ones now. I really like lion's mane a lot and maitake. These have all become much more easy to get. And then as for wild mushrooms, I like king bo leaves. I love matsutake. Gosh, I have so many favorites, that's hard to say. I like many different kinds of mushrooms.
You just prepare, just saute them and then throw in the teriyaki?
Well, that's certainly an easy way to prepare them. And if I'm trying a mushroom for the first time, usually I just saute it first in usually in olive oil and put some salt and pepper on it and taste it. But because I've spent a lot of time in Japan and really like Asian cooking, I've come to like many of the ways that the mushrooms are prepared in those cuisines, which often are with much less fat than, you know, here the typical thing is to cook mushrooms in butter and cream, and cooked in a flavorful broth, for example, or just grilled and brushed with yaki sauce. So I like them cooked that way.
Okay. Now back to business. How closely are we humans related to mushrooms, and why might that be, that understanding be a big deal?
Well, it's very clear that mushrooms are not plants. You know, when I grew up, that we were taught that mushrooms were plants. But in fact, mushrooms split off from plants, you know, along with us, and we are much more closely related to mushrooms than either of us are to plants. And, you know, one way of looking at that is that we share more DNA sequences with mushrooms than either mushrooms or animals do with plants.
And so what does that actually mean? Could you extrapolate from that statement?
Well, I think, you know, clearly all life is related, but, you know, I think many people have had the attitude that mushrooms are things that are foreign, strange.
Yeah.
And in fact, we are more, you know, alike, we're more like mushrooms in many ways than we are like plants. So I think it just emphasizes our connection with them.
But could I ask further, if, for example, there were a, let me say, virus that a mushroom had, would, could you as a doctor extrapolate from that? If you found a cure for the mushroom, would that cure be applicable to mankind as well?
I don't know. I mean, one interesting observation is that mushrooms and bacteria are natural enemies, mm-hmm. and they compete for the same nutrients and habitats, and mushrooms have evolved a number of chemical defenses against bacteria, and those have proved very useful to us because most of our antibiotics are derived from fungi, and they are mm-hmm. these chemicals that mushrooms evolved to, you know, deal with bacteria.
Okay, this sort of relates to your answer to one of the earlier questions about mushrooms, we discussed some of your favorites that have medicinal benefits. So your answer to this question accrues to that question as well, it sounds
Yeah, certainly one of the broad categories of medicinal properties of mushrooms is to increase resistance to infection, especially to bacterial infection, but also to viral infection.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these medicinal mushrooms have totally unique effects for which we really don't have anything in conventional medicine, and that, you know, such as increasing nerve growth and health. That's particularly true of lion's mane or cordyceps, which increases aerobic capacity. You know, these are unusual specific effects of particular mushrooms.
Okay, I'm sure you'll go into greater detail in your talk anyway. So
I will.
Do you feel mushrooms are critical to the survival of life on planet Earth?
There's no question about that. I think that if mushrooms went away, everything else would go away as well. They are absolutely essential to life and the connectedness of life. You know, we would not have plants, we wouldn't have forests if there were not mushrooms. So I think there is growing awareness of their importance. And it's been, to me, very wonderful to see the change in attitude toward mushrooms in our part of the world.
Right. Thank you. Finally, it has been a while since Dr. Weil has made an appearance in Telluride. Please take us back to the early days of the Telluride Mushroom Festival. And then, what are you most looking forward to for this year's event?
Well, you know, in the very early days, it was a pretty much of a countercultural event. We had a wonderful time. We invited very prominent national figures to be guests at the conference: John Cage, Carrie Mullis, Lynn Margulies. So, you know, it was a great cultural event. I think the audience has changed over the years, and, you know, I haven't been there in quite a while, so I'm very looking forward to see what kinds of people are coming to it today and how it's evolved.
Yeah, it's actually, the event is sold out. And
terrific.
And a lot, I'm sure, because of your name on the posters. So thank you very much. This has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside Now, speaking with Dr. Andrew Weil, who is a keynote at the upcoming Telluride Mushroom Festival. Again, thanks for your time, Dr. Weil.
Sure. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.